Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now! Former President Donald Trump has been ordered to pay $5 million to E. Jean Carroll after a jury found him liable for sexually abusing and defaming her. We'll speak to Jessica Leeds, who testified during the trial about how Trump sexually assaulted her during a flight in the 1970s.
He was trying to kiss me. His hands were on my breasts. He was, we were kind of wrestling, but I didn't say anything. He didn't say anything, so it was like this kind of kabuki theater in the silence.
Then, as Title 42, the Trump-era pandemic policy blocking asylum seekers, ends Thursday, President Biden plans stronger enforcement measures on the border.
I spent close to an hour with the Mexican president today. We're doing all we can. It's going to be chaotic for a while.
We'll speak to the Salvadoran poet and writer Javier Zamora, author of the best-selling memoir Solito. As a 9-year-old boy, he traveled alone 4,000 miles to reach the United States. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A New York jury unanimously found former President Donald Trump liable for the sexual abuse and defamation of writer E. Jean Carroll, awarding her $5 million in damages. The jury, however, rejected a rape charge. During the trial, Carroll recounted her sexual assault by Trump in the dressing room of Bergdorf Goodman in the 1990s. Since it was a civil trial, Trump was not convicted of a crime and does not face prison time. Trump's lawyer said he would appeal, while the ex-president called the verdict a disgrace and said, "I have absolutely no idea who this woman is." In a statement, E. Jean Carroll said, quote, "Today the world finally knows the truth. This victory is not just for me, but for every woman who has suffered because she was not believed." We'll have more on this story after headlines and speak with one of the witnesses in the trial, Jessica Leeds, about her experience of Donald Trump sitting down on a plane and sexually assaulting her. CBS News is reporting the Biden administration is expected to publish today new procedures for quickly deporting migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border ahead of the lifting of the Trump-era Title 42 pandemic policy Thursday. President Biden said he expects the situation at the southern border to become chaotic. The new rule would require the majority of asylum seekers to request refugee status in another country like Mexico before reaching the U.S. Deported migrants will be barred from re-entering the U.S. for 5 years. Earlier this week, 233 groups, including the ACLU, Amnesty International USA, Detention Watch Network, and Raices, sent an open letter to President Biden demanding he follow through on his commitment to never detain migrant families, end for-profit immigration jails, and to allow people to live with dignity in their communities while their cases are being resolved in court instead of being locked up and surveilled. The groups write, quote, "Detention places people in conditions known to cause mental and physical harm and endanger their lives. Detention is not a deterrent to migrants who have no choice but to flee dangerous or violent conditions in search of a better life," they wrote. Meanwhile, immigrant justice groups in Texas held protests in Austin Tuesday to demand lawmakers reject HB 20 and HB 7, which would deputize vigilantes to carry out immigration enforcement in Texas and create a parallel court system to try migrants and smugglers picked up by state-run patrols. President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy remain at a stalemate over debt ceiling negotiations after meeting Tuesday for the first time in 3 months. The two agreed to meet again as the U.S. inches closer to a possible default as early as June 1st. McCarthy has demanded spending cuts before agreeing to raise the debt limit, which Biden has refused to consider as Democrats slam Republicans of economic hostage taking. Biden spoke after Tuesday's meeting.
Everyone in the meeting understood the risk of default. Our economy would fall into a significant recession. It would devastate retirement accounts, increase borrowing costs. According to Moody's, nearly 8 million Americans would lose their jobs, and our international reputation would be damaged in the extreme.
Calls are mounting for President Biden to invoke the 14th Amendment, which would allow him to continue issuing debt bypassing Congress. Biden has said he has not taken that option off the table. In the occupied West Bank, Israeli soldiers shot dead two Palestinians during a raid in the town of Kabatia. Meanwhile, Israeli airstrikes in the Gaza Strip continued for a second day, with at least one Palestinian killed today, after the air raids killed at least 15 Palestinians and wounded 22 others Tuesday, according to officials. This is a shop owner in Gaza.
It's a hard situation, to be honest. We face fear. We are staying tuned. We don't know what will happen. The situation is, everyone doesn't know what will happen, whether we are going to have a war or ceasefire.
In Ukraine, French journalist Armand Soldin was killed in a rocket attack Tuesday in Khasiv Yar, near the war-torn eastern city of Bakhmut. The 32-year-old journalist worked for the AFP news agency. The Committee to Protect Journalists says he's the 15th reporter to be killed since Russia's invasion of Ukraine last year. In more news about the war, the head of the Russian mercenary Wagner Group said President Putin's troops have started to abandon their positions in Bakhmut. This comes as Britain's poised to designate Wagner as a terrorist group. France's National Assembly approved a similar measure Tuesday and urged the European Union to follow suit. In Pakistan, nearly 1,000 people have been arrested as protests broke out following the arrest of the former Prime Minister Imran Khan Tuesday. His supporters gathered today as Khan made another appearance in an Islamabad court, where he was indicted for selling state gifts during his premiership between 2018 and 2022. A court yesterday ruled his arrest was lawful as his legal team continued to fight the charges. Former UK Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn called Khan's arrest a dark day for democracy. Authorities have shut down social media sites while a judge is set to rule on a request for permission to detain Khan for at least 14 days. This is one of Khan's supporters.
What they have done, is this not hooliganism? Is this not terrorism? Imran Khan had gone to appear before court. Now, where is Supreme Court? Where is High Court? Where are the judges?
In Turkey, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and his main rival, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, have been holding massive rallies ahead of crucial elections this Sunday that could see the end of Erdogan's rule after more than 20 years in power. President Erdogan announced Tuesday his government's raising its workers' salaries by 45% in a bid to counter voter concerns over Turkey's ailing economy amid soaring inflation. Erdogan also is facing continued backlash over his response to the catastrophic February earthquake and damning reports of lax building regulations and neglecting warnings about the safety of structures.
Let's talk the truth here now. My whole family is gone. They are all deceased. Why wouldn't I be angry against the government? No machinery came to help. Nothing did.
Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, who is backed by a multi-party alliance, has vowed to pursue closer ties with NATO and the European Union, reinforce democratic institutions like independent courts and a free press. He also said he would reverse Erdogan's dissolution of the position of prime minister in the 2017 constitutional referendum.
We are not going to leave the fate of the Turkish Republic in the hand of one person, and no one will accept the words of just one person.
Conservative President Erdogan has also appealed to his religious base, accusing his opponent of being pro-LGBT at an Istanbul rally Sunday. Back in the United States, embattled Republican Congressmember George Santos is expected to appear in a New York court today after federal prosecutors file criminal charges against him. Details of the charges are not yet known, but the New York congressman has been under investigation for his many lies around his campaign financing, biography, education and work history. Santos has defied numerous calls to resign. Separately, a hearing in Brazil is scheduled for Thursday over charges Santos committed check fraud. In California, a state reparations task force approved recommendations on compensating and apologizing to black residents for generations of discrimination and violence from slavery to the present day. Congressmember and U.S. Senate candidate Barbara Lee, who's helping lead a congressional push for reparations, spoke at the meeting Saturday in Oakland, which she represents in the U.S. House.
Reparations are not a luxury for our people, but a human right long overdue for millions of Americans. Millions of Americans. A promise of 40 acres and a mule made to formerly enslaved people over 150 years ago has yet to be filled. And it's critical that the promise be made that was made to our ancestors many years ago is kept. And the process of truth-telling and racial healing, that's got to be carried out also. The atrocities committed against Black Americans are undeniable. And reparations are a tangible route to acknowledging and making amends.
If the measure is approved by California's legislature and Governor Gavin Newsom, it'll provide monetary compensation to black residents for discriminatory policies, including mass incarceration, policing, housing discrimination, health care inequalities and environmental racism. In labor news, service employees, international union workers at the union's headquarters in Washington, D.C., have authorized a strike as they continue contract negotiations for better wages and protections. Many walked off the job Tuesday as employees accused the SEIU president, Mary Kay Henry, and the secretary-treasurer of supporting union-busting tactics and refusing to negotiate in good faith. Paramount Global is laying off a quarter of its staff and shutting down MTV News. Head of Paramount Media Networks Chris McCarthy made the announcement to employees in an emailed memo. Paramount's also the parent company of CBS, Nickelodeon, Comedy Central and Showtime. The latest media layoffs come after massive job cuts at Vice News, BuzzFeed is closing, and other companies. And David Miranda, Brazilian journalist and the first LGBTQ member of the Rio de Janeiro City Council, has died at the age of 37. The news was announced by his husband, journalist Glenn Greenwald, on Tuesday. David Miranda had spent 9 months in intensive care after being hospitalized last August for a severe gastrointestinal infection. Tributes to Miranda, who also served in Brazil's Congress, poured in following the news. The Brazilian president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, noted his extraordinary trajectory. Miranda, born in a favela and orphaned at the age of five, continued to fight for Brazil's poor and the LGBTQ community, which came under renewed attack during the presidency of Jair Bolsonaro. NSA whistleblower Ed Snowden also paid tribute to Miranda, celebrating his courage and righteousness and helping bring his leaked documents to light in 2013. Miranda was notably detained for 9 hours at London's Heathrow Airport, but refused to cooperate with authorities. Snowden wrote, "It was that courage that set him free," unquote. David Miranda is survived by his husband and their two children. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. Coming up, Donald Trump has been found guilty of sexually abusing and defaming E. Jean Carroll. The jury has awarded her $5 million. We'll speak to a journalist as well as Jessica Leeds. She's one of the people who testified in Carroll's trial about her own sexual assault by Donald Trump. Stay with us.
Nobody said it would be easy. Nobody said that it would all be fine. But to get where we're going, brother, gotta hold the line. It ain't a matter of if, it's just a matter of time. To get where we're going, sister, gotta hold the line. Gotta hold the line. Hold the line. Hold the line. Hold the line. steadfast and tread lightly, cause they're looking for a reason to knock you down, but you can't act too politely. In the trenches, you gotta get loud, you gotta stay steadfast and tread lightly, cause they're looking for a reason to knock
Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine singing Hold the Line in a video he posted in solidarity with Oakland teachers who are on strike. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Former President Donald Trump has been ordered to pay $5 million to writer E. Jean Carroll after a jury found him liable for sexually abusing and defaming her. The jury in the civil trial reached its verdict after just 3 hours of deliberations. The jury, however, did not find that Trump raped Carroll. In a statement, E. Jean Carroll said, "I filed this lawsuit against Donald Trump to clear my name and to get my life back. Today, the world finally knows the truth. This victory is not just for me, but for every woman who has suffered because she was not believed," she said. During the trial, E. Jean Carroll recounted how Trump sexually assaulted her in the 90s inside the dressing room of the Bergdorf Goodman department store, located a block from Trump Tower. During the trial, Trump's defense team did not call any witnesses, and Trump rejected his chance to testify during the trial. On Tuesday, Trump, who's running for president again, posted a number of messages and videos on his social media platform blasting the verdict.
"We'll be appealing this decision. It's a disgrace. I don't even know who this woman is. I have no idea who she is, where she came from. This is another scam. It's a political witch hunt."
In a video deposition recently made public, Donald Trump claimed E. Jean Carroll was, quote, "not my type." But during questioning in the taped deposition, Trump mistook E. Jean Carroll for his ex-wife, Marla Maples.
"You're saying Marla's in this photo?"
"That's Marla, yeah. That's my wife."
"Which woman are you pointing to?"
"No.
Here.
Carroll.
Oh, is that?
The person you just pointed to was E. Jean Carroll."
"Who is that? Who is this?"
"Point, your wife."
"And the person, the woman on the right, is your then wife?"
"I don't know. This was the picture. I assume that's John Johnson. Is that
Carol?
Because it's very blurry."
In a moment, we'll be joined by Jessica Leeds, who testified during the trial about how Trump sexually assaulted her during a flight in the 1970s. But we begin with Moira Donegan in San Francisco, an opinion columnist covering gender and politics for The Guardian, also a writer in residence at the Clayman Institute for Gender Research at Stanford University. Moira, thanks so much for joining us. Can you first respond to the verdict, to a unanimous jury finding Donald Trump liable for sexually assaulting and defaming E. Jean Carroll?
Well, thank you for having me, Amy. And I think something that to remember about this verdict is that it was unusually fast. That suggests that this wasn't very close. You know, usually in even a civil trial like this, a jury will be out in deliberations for much longer. They came back yesterday in just under 3 hours, which suggests that, you know, there wasn't a lot of doubt in the jurors' minds about who was telling the truth here. I think this is a really significant moment for American women and specifically for the Me Too movement. You know, Donald Trump was sort of the figure whose boorishness, his shamelessness, his, you know, long standing impunity for sexual assault really did inspire this rage at the, you know, ongoing and very pervasive sexual abuse of women, mostly by men. And his lack of accountability for many years had been a motivator and an insult. You know, it was insulting, I think, to the citizenship of American women to have somebody who had been so contemptuous of their dignity in a position of great power. So that a court of law has now held him accountable, held him liable, is, I think, a really significant moment.
Can you talk about the law that enabled E. Jean Carroll decades later to bring this lawsuit against Donald Trump here in New York City?
Yeah. So, you know, the law under which this lawsuit was filed is something called the New York Adult Survivors Act, which was a long time coming. It is a law that extended the statute of limitations or created a one-year, they call it a look-back window, that began on Thanksgiving, during which, you know, survivors of sexual abuse who have sort of gone past the statute of limitations, whose assaults occurred too long ago to file civil suits, have this opportunity over the course of a year to, you know, look back, to bring back their claims and to file civil, not criminal, but civil suits that would have otherwise been prohibited by the statute of limitations. E. Jean Carroll lobbied for this law, and her attorneys filed the lawsuit just within hours of it having gone into effect.
And so people can actually still file suits, right? That window is still open till, what is it, November?
Yes, there's 6 more months if there's any survivors in New York who have, you know, assaults, who have claims that have happened beyond the statute of limitations. They still have that opportunity to file civil claims and to try and get some justice.
During the trial, the jury was shown the infamous Access Hollywood video, in which Trump brags about grabbing women's genitals without asking permission.
I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
You can do anything, Trump said in that videotape. Well, during a videotape deposition seen by the jury, Trump defended his comments in the Access Hollywood tape.
Again, this has become very famous in this video. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. Grab them by the p-. You can do anything. That's what you said, correct?
Well, historically, that's true with stars.
It's true with stars that they can grab women by the...
Well, that's what... It's, if you look over the last million years, I guess that's been largely true. Not always, but largely true. Unfortunately or fortunately.
And you consider yourself to be a star?
I think you can say that, yeah.
That was Donald Trump in the videotape deposition that was shown in court. And yet he refused to be there live to testify, which is extremely significant, Moira. If you can talk about this. I mean, he was golfing in Ireland at his golf course and said that he would be challenging E. Jean Carroll, whoever she is, and the judge in court. And when the judge took him up on the offer and said that this was, what, last Thursday, that he'd have until Sunday, even though his lawyer had rested the case, to say whether he would come into court, he didn't. The significance of this, Moira. So the only thing the jury saw were these damning clips from his deposition.
It's a really damning, it's a really remarkable exchange, you know, that phrase, fortunately or unfortunately, really, I think, bolstered Carroll's claim that the Access Hollywood tape amounts to not, as Donald Trump had characterized it, mere, you know, quote-unquote locker room talk, but really a confession, right? He's reaffirming not only his misogynist attitudes, but really a true lack of remorse and lack of a moral objection to sexual assault. You know, Donald Trump performed so badly in that deposition, and he incriminated himself further in this kind of remarkable way, as you noted. And I think that, you know, it might not have been entirely unwise for him from a legal standpoint to avoid coming to the trial. I think, you know, he would not probably have performed very well on cross. He doesn't have a lot of self-control. He's very... indignant. He's very impulsive. And, you know, I don't think he would have helped his own case. That said, I think it did also make a impression on the jury, you know, how much disregard for the proceedings, disinterest in mounting a real defense, sort of seemingly, casual irreverence for the seriousness of what was being alleged in this civil court. You know, that, I don't think that helped him either. I think, you know, all that the jurors really heard was a ton of corroboration from E. Jean Carroll, a ton of, you know, confessions and reaffirmations of his, you know, character and habits from the long record of Donald Trump, and particularly that Access Hollywood tape, which was played many times in court. But they didn't really hear much of a defense from Trump's side. And that, I think, you know, really made a big impression.
I want to bring into this discussion Jessica Leeds, who testified during the trial. She told jurors about how Trump groped her during a flight on a plane in the 1970s. In 2018, Jessica Leeds came to our Democracy Now! Studio here in New York and described what happened when she sat next to Trump in first class on the flight.
Dinner was served, and it was after dinner when, truly, all of a sudden, without a word, without a "by you leave" or about any kind of social conversation, he started groping me.
What does that mean? What did he do?
His hands were he was trying to kiss me. His hands were on my breast. He was we were kind of wrestling, but I didn't say anything. He didn't say anything, so it was like this kind of kabuki theater in the silence. I remember thinking, why doesn't the guy across the aisle say something? Why doesn't the stewardess come back? And it seemed to go on forever, but of course it didn't.
He put his hand up your skirt?
Yes. He started putting his hand up my skirt. And that's when I, with effort, managed to wiggle my way out, grab my purse, and I went to the back of the airplane. And I sat there until the plane landed and was completely clear before, because I didn't want to run into him.
That was Jessica Leeds speaking on Democracy Now! In 2018. Again, she testified in E. Jean Carroll, the defamation and battery trial. She is joining us now from Asheville, North Carolina. Jessica Leeds, thanks so much for rejoining us on Democracy Now! Can I first get your response to President Trump being found guilty of sexual assault against E. Jean Carroll?
I'm really pleased. I'm pleased for E. Jean. I'm pleased for what it says. I am sorry that the jury couldn't come up with a rape charge, but that's kind of understandable. Baby steps here. Baby steps.
You know, I was curious. She was able to file this suit because of this law that had opened up in New York that still has 6 months where people can sue someone who assaulted them years ago. Are you weighing suing Donald Trump as well?
No, I have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. I would not want to put them through that.
But what do you, which is quite a testimonial to E. Jean Carroll, Jessica, what do you make of what E. Jean Carroll did, going through this again decades later? And talk about what made you decide to testify. There are dozens of women who've accused Donald Trump of sexual assault. You were one of two women who testified in E. Jean Carroll's trial.
Well, I think they wanted to use people who could show a pattern of behavior, especially over the years. This is the what I got from talking to the lawyers. E. Jean is a very strong, creative woman. And when she finally recognized the damage that had been done to her, it had taken a while. And for her to step up and do this takes a great deal of courage. But I think she got some good support. I think she had damn good lawyers, and I think it paid off. I think I mentioned one time in an interview that I thought that all of these women had basically the same story. So for him to totally reject us is just sort of ridiculous.
You know, it's interesting what Donald Trump said. He continually said now on social media and this video that he released, he said he does not know this woman. Now, interestingly, when E. Jean Carroll's lawyer in the deposition showed him a picture, he kept saying, she's not my type, she's not my type, showed him a picture and said, can you identify who this is? He identified the woman the lawyer was pointing to in a photograph standing next to him as his second wife, Marla Maples. But in fact, it was E. Jean Carroll. But when he says, I did not know her, I don't know her. In fact, so many of these women, including you, Jessica Leeds, he did not know when he attacked you. Is that correct?
That's correct. And not only that, at this point in his life,